Welcome to the Rom-Com Games, a championship where two movies go head-to-head each episode in a battle to decide on the ultimate romantic comedy.
We are your aspiring movie critic hosts, Ruth
and Kristen,
and this is
the Rom-Com Games.
Hi, everyone. We're here today to answer the most important question of all. Barbra Streisand? Or no? Kristen, what do you think?
Do we like her?
Just or answer the question.
Do we know
Stop
her?
Stop evading. Answer the question.
I guess, yes.
Okay.
The answer is yes, but I don't know what the question is.
Exactly. And that's what we're here to discover on the Rom-Com Games. What is Barbra Streisand? The love of my life, honestly.
Speaking of Barbra Streisand, I did actually see for the first time A Star is Born, which is...
Wait, which version?
Well, the new one.
Oh, okay.
It's a remake of the Barbra Streisand version.
Yeah. Well, it's a remake of many versions.
There's so many versions of it.
So who asked for that? This is the fourth? I've seen the Barbra Streisand one and the Judy Garland one, and I feel like there was one before that, but I could be wrong.
You're going to be shocked to hear that I never heard of any other version of this, and I never knew this franchise existed.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Until right now or until earlier?
Until probably like around the press of when the movie was coming out.
Oh, okay. Well, that's normal.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
You know, I'm an old movie nerd. You know this.
Yes, you are.
Yes. So my mom used to debate, sometimes with my grandfather, like which version was the best. Because obviously he was partial to the Judy Garland one, and she was actually also partial to the Judy Garland one. The Barbra Streisand one's kind of messy. It's very 80s.
I believe that. Is it big hair?
Oh, such big hair. Like, the largest. Actually, not the largest, because the largest big hair in the world is in one of the two movies we're discussing today. Moonstruck.
And there's also some pretty big hair in our other movie, My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
So true. Actually, these are two. These movies are really just, we thought the category was family, but the category is really celebrations of curly hair. You should feel good about that, Kristen.
Listen, people with curly hair are often told that we should be grateful for our curly hair. But there's a lot of maintenance and a lot of struggles that come with curly hair. And that does not get enough recognition.
By the mainstream media. Fake news out here. Pretending like we all wake up with effortless waves.
Yes. And like beautiful bouncy curls that spring back. That doesn't happen.
How do you get beautiful bouncy curls that spring back?
I don't know. I'm still trying to figure that out.
Okay, all right. TikTok has lots of recommendations for you. Do you know what curl type you have?
No, I get overwhelmed by all this information. And so then I don't look up anything. And then I complain about the same problems.
Cool. Love that vibe for you. Well, apparently there are like different types of curls.
What are the different types?
Based on your curl structure and tightness or looseness.
It's not tight, but it's not loose. It's in between. So medium?
Yeah.
If that's a...
No, it's like a number with a letter.
Okay.
Somebody who knows about curls.
Someone tell me. Text me right now.
Yeah, text Kristen. Our number is 1234, big hair. Nailed it. I'm like ridiculously good at improv. Someone says make up a phone number on the spot. I'm like, hell yeah. I got four locked and loaded. Listen to this. 1, 2, 3, 4. 4, 3, 2, 1. 1, 3, 2, 4. 4, 1, 3, 2. Boom. That's improv.
My main concern is that all of the phone numbers you were doing weren't enough numbers. So I wasn't sure if you were combining them to be one long number. If you were expecting me to believe that someone's phone number is four digits.
Okay. Two things. Number one, when you enter into the audience of an improv show, which is what you are right now, you have to accept You have to open your mind, like open your imagination and accept what the people on stage are giving you. Number two, if you're part of the improv show, which you are right now, you're supposed, number one rule is you're supposed to say yes and. You're supposed to say yes to what I put out there. And you're giving me a whole lot of no buts right now.
I thought I was an audience member. Now I'm a cast member?
Can you get with the program? Obviously, you're both. Have you ever done improv before? Like, did you do it in theater class in high school?
I did, and I was so bad at it. Because I was always trying to be funny, but then, like, put the pressure on me, and I couldn't be funny. It's just so natural for me.
But then when I try to force it, it's like, wait, where even is that muscle?
Yeah, so I wish I was good at improv, but I am very bad at improv.
Yeah, same. That's the whole reason I took classes, because I was like, I've always been terrible at this. Also, I was always really scared of it.
Thank you.
Do you have anything that, do you have like a fear that you've addressed? Really, like, let's get into it. Let's get deep this episode.
Yes. I have. Living alone has had its challenges. Mainly, I can't get someone else to kill bugs for me.
Oh my gosh. I thought you were going to say something about, like, loneliness.
No.
The struggle of, like, being an independent person. You just want a bug murderer.
Yes. I used to be, I would... If someone was coming home, if I knew someone could kill the bug for me, I would just put a bowl or a cup over the bug until said person arrived home. Because one of my greatest and most irrational fears is that I'll get like the biggest ball that I can, so that, like to kill a bug.
Yeah.
So I don't have to feel myself crushing it and taking its life away from it.
Sure.
But
sure,
my
sure.
worry is that I won't kill it, and it'll escape my crush of paper towels, and then crawl onto me.
Right. And then what would happen? Who can know? Anything could happen.
It would not end well. Meaning I would not...
So we know.
I would be traumatized.
Yeah, that you wouldn't wish to continue life.
Not to sound dramatic.
No. It's, like, very chill. It's very calm. But it is, that would be the end of my life.
I would move past it, but it would be a long, hard road.
That's right. Eventually, I'd get there. The bug probably would, too. Because, honestly, I can't imagine you killing a bug on you. Like, I feel like once a bug gets on your arm, it probably just lives with you for the rest of your life.
Or I, like, fling it off because I just have body spasms to get... bug off me.
It's kind of fun. Your body spasms, are they full body, or do you find that they're just like, you know, kind of focused on one area?
It's usually focused on the area that is being affected.
Okay. What, you gestured to your face there. Is that where bugs normally go?
Oh my god, one of my fears. Speaking of bugs, you very recently traumatized me with a film choice that you made, which is you requested that we watch on a Netflix party. You requested we watch The Mummy without realizing that it was not really about a mummy. It was mostly about bugs.
Okay, in my defense, The Mummy is an iconic 90s movie and you love 90s movies. So I honestly assumed you'd seen it before.
No.
That's crazy. Like, do you remember it coming out? Like,
I remember,
or, like, being around when you were a kid and you chose not to watch it?
I remember it being a thing, and there's no reason why I never watched it. And I will say to everyone out there, it is a very enjoyable film. I did like it a lot.
Oh,
but
good.
I can never see it again.
Right. You're like, well, that was a one-time experience, and I'll go to my grave never having it again.
Well, I mean, it's hard when you can't watch half the movie because there's so many bugs.
Yeah, I was legitimately, I think I was bright red. I felt so bad. If I had known that you hadn't seen it before, I never would have recommended it, because I know that you're like not the biggest fan of the bugs. And that movie is 50% bugs.
So many. And the worst part is, because first we just tried closing my eyes. Yeah. But then the sound, especially without seeing it, was even worse.
It was horrible. Yeah, and then people are like screaming because the bugs are under their skin and stuff.
Yeah, I did. I stupidly opened my eyes during that part, so I did at like the worst part when he opened his shirt and like the bug was inside, and I was like, no.
Yeah, I mean, that I was reading about it. That movie went through just like multiple rounds of development, you know, and it was originally supposed to be a horror movie, I guess. So that explains why it retained some of its like more horror light things. And I guess I was thinking about it because you and I were texting the whole time, and I would text you and be like, look away, there's bugs coming. And then we'd be like, okay, it's fine to look back now. And then we would just talk about Rachel Weisz's terrible eyebrows.
Oh, God, they're so bad.
They were so bad. She's so beautiful. And they were so bad.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, if I saw this movie for the first time right now, I hate horror movies, and I would probably be spooked out and like would be scared. It's just because I've seen it so many times.
Yeah, it was. I don't know if I would consider it a horror movie. I was traumatized personally, but that's just a personal journey I went through.
Like a Kristen horror movie. Well, should we dive into them?
We should. So the first movie on our list, like we mentioned, is My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Now, we should make note that not only is this in the Family Matters category and the big hair category, but coincidentally, these are both movies that Ruth and I said were our personal favorite rom-coms. So My Big Fat Greek Wedding is mine, and Moonstruck is Ruth's. And we will discuss the merits of both, but I can say that I'd never seen Moonstruck until this viewing, and I told Ruth I spent a majority of the viewing wondering why Ruth liked Moonstruck.
Yay!
But for everyone who has not seen My Big Fat Greek Wedding, pause this right now. Go to your HBO Max, watch My Big Fat Greek Wedding, and then come back here an hour and 45 minutes later.
And yeah. Oh, she knows episode. The runtime even.
It is a film starring Nia Vardalos, I think is how we pronounce her name. And it's about a woman in her early 30s living in Chicago, single, from a Greek family. And they are obsessed with being Greek, knowing Greece, being from Greeks, everything Greek is all they're obsessed about. And they only care about her marrying a Greek man and having Greek babies and living a Greek life in America. So she doesn't want that for herself, and she's in a rut, and she's still living at home. She's working at the family business. She's not really thriving, some might say. So she decides to kind of change her life in small ways at first, and she ends up, you know, enrolling herself in college. She starts putting on makeup, dressing a little better, just like trying a bit overall. And she also ends up getting a job at a travel agency that her aunt runs, her aunt Fula. While there, she meets a man that she's been crushing on, who she saw once when she was a waitress at the restaurant, Ann Miller, or Eon Miller.
She was a seating hostess.
Thank you. A seating hostess. Eon Miller, as he is pronounced by the family, who is played by, blanking on his name in real life right now. John
Isn't
Corbett.
Like John something?
Yeah. John Corbett, who also played Aiden in Sex and the City, arguably the only decent man that Carrie dated on that show.
Accurate.
And also was way too good for Carrie.
Also accurate.
So we are okay that they didn't end up together.
Yeah.
But I digress. Back to the plot. She meets Eon Miller, and they just have this really sweet courtship. They're instantly really like each other. They start dating in secret, but the family finds out that she is dating a non-Greek man. So the dad does not handle this well and starts trying to set her up with, I should say her name is Tula, starts trying to set Tula up with a variety of Greek men, but she's still in love with Eon Miller and can't imagine her life without him. They get engaged and start planning her big fat Greek wedding, which is just full of family traditions, meat, dancing, ouzo, the works, and hilarity ensues.
So true.
Yeah.
It so does. And then our second movie, like Kristen mentioned, was Moonstruck, which is definitely my favorite rom-com of all time, and honestly in a top contender for my favorite movie all of all time. So if anyone's been curious, has been creating trivia about Kristen and Ruth and the rom-com games, mark that one down. I just legitimately, and Kristen and I will talk about it, like she said, this is one of those movies where sometimes you have a movie and you want to tell everyone about it. Like, you want to be an evangelist for that movie and you want to convince everyone that it's the greatest movie ever made. And sometimes you have a movie that you love and it just feels like it was made for you. And you're so excited when you find other people that like it. But if someone doesn't like it, you're like, okay, well, that's fine. NBD. And that's how I feel about Moonstruck. So if you haven't seen it, it is older. It's from the 80s. Stars Cher. And it's similar to My Big Fat Greek Wedding in that it is about love, romantic love, but it's almost equally about family and about family love. So Cher plays the main character. She is like a late 30 something, early 40 something widow who lives with her family in New York. Her husband, she was married to for about 2 years and then he got hit by a bus. And so now she is like clearly, I don't want to diagnose someone and say depressed, but she acts like she's depressed. She's like kind of barely making it through life. She doesn't smile very often. And she's just kind of like strong-willing her way through. And she believes that she has terrible luck and that her husband died because of her terrible luck, and she's going to continue to have terrible luck for the rest of her life. So she decides to get engaged to her boyfriend, Johnny, who she doesn't love. She tells her mom that, but she believes that he'll be like a good partner and a good husband. Johnny is estranged from his brother, Ronnie. So he asks Cher to go invite Ronnie to the wedding. And when she arrives at the bread factory where Ronnie works, it is Nicolas Cage. He's got a wooden hand and he's crazy. And that's where the movie truly begins. So Cher and Nicolas Cage have like an immediate, almost primal type like chemistry thing where they both seem to get each other, and so they do the deed, and then Nicolas Cage the next morning declares that he's in love with Cher and basically spends the rest of the movie trying to convince her to love him back. She clearly is interested and has strong feelings for him, but is very terrified by her past loss and by her belief that she has bad luck that she's going to bring upon herself. There's some other subplots, like basically everyone's trying to figure out what love is in this movie and how to be brave. So like Cher's dad is cheating on her mom. The mom knows about it, but doesn't know what to do about it. Cher's dad's doing it because he's having an existential crisis about getting old. There's like Cher's aunt and uncle who are in love. And yeah, there's some other subplots. Cher's grandpa who's has 7 dogs and I love that for him. But that is the main crux of the story. In the end, Cher decides not to marry Johnny, and in the literal same scene Ronnie proposes to her, she says yes, and the mom calls the dad out for cheating. He says, I'll stop cheating, and the movie ends.
And that's Moonstruck, baby.
Oh yeah, that's another thing these two have related, is they're both obviously My Big Fat Greek Wedding, the main character is a first generation immigrant and it has much more of a focus on like Greek culture, but in Moonstruck, Cher appears to be like a second generation immigrant. It seems like maybe her parents were born mm-hmm. in America. And so that movie also has like a strong through current of like Italian culture. They just don't talk about it as explicitly, but that's something else those two movies have in common.
Yeah, it's still very, you know, very much that they are Italian heritage.
Absolutely.
There's no denying that.
Right, for sure. So those are the two movies we're talking about today. Should we dive into categories, Cry?
I think so.
Let's do it. All right, so first one up on the docket. My personal favorite, my passion project, it's physical chemistry.
Who'd you vote for?
This was the one that I had the toughest time with, and I always end up saying that about a category, but this one really was true. I deliberated up until the end. I did end up voting for My Big Fat Greek Wedding. What about you?
Same.
All right. And then we move on. No, we gotta talk about it.
Yeah.
This was tough because My Big Fat Greek Wedding, I think they're very cute together. Mm-hmm. They have like a very chaste energy, in my opinion. Like, they seem like a real couple that I would know in real life. That's why I ended up voting for them. And I see, they seem like friends, but, like, I could also see them making out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I was really torn because Moonstruck, I think, like, it bases the entire movie pretty much on the fact that they have this, like, primal sexual energy, you know, like, Nicolas Cage flips over a table so that he can go kiss Cher. So I was very tempted to vote for it in physical chemistry, but I think the main strength of that movie is, like, Cher's character's growth as a person, whereas My Big Fat Greek Wedding is pretty focused on them being cute together. So I voted for that one.
And at the same time, with My Big Fat Greek Wedding, this is one of the, really one of the only movies I could think of where there's no actual conflict between the main couple. They never mm-hmm. have a true fight. There's never a moment where it's like, can they break up? Or like, is this going to be a deal breaker? No, they have very realistic, normal conversations and are, like you said, like a legit, like a very legit couple that we could see. And I like the fact that they didn't have any conflict. There was conflict in the story, of course, but mm-hmm. it's mostly with the differences in heritage.
Yeah, totally agree. It's fun to see a movie where it's like external conflict as opposed to internal.
Exactly. Yeah. And I like, yeah, I really appreciate that we never have to worry about them.
Right.
And sure. with Moonstruck, I mean, their romance, I think, was a total of 3 days before they got engaged.
Yeah.
It was very primal, and they clearly did have great chemistry.
Yeah.
Actors. One, it's hard to take Nicolas Cage seriously as like a sexy leading man.
How dare you? National Treasure.
We do love National Treasure.
We do love National Treasure.
And also, I just kind of found him, what's the right word? Like, clearly she was interested in him, but she also kept turning him down. She slapped mm-hmm. him in the face and said, snap out of it, when he said he was in love with her. And he was, you know, she was engaged to his brother. So he was not taking no for an answer.
Right.
And that I did not appreciate.
Yes. I definitely thought about the same thing. I think that if the movie, like we were kind of talking about before the podcast started, that movie kind of exists in like a, I don't know, it's like very stylized.
Mm-hmm.
I guess is the right way to put it. It exists in like almost like a heightened reality.
Mm-hmm.
Like it has the When Harry Met Sally thing where every word is very specific.
Yes.
And so I think if it wasn't, and so it feels kind of magical sometimes as opposed to totally realistic. And I think if it didn't exist in that like magical world, I would have been really uncomfortable with some of the like almost non-consensual stuff. Because it put itself in this like world where it's like destiny and people believe in luck and magic. And the writers did such a good job, in my opinion, of showing that like she was interested in him. I don't know. It was kind of for me one of those things where I was like, I would hate this in another situation, but I think that they did it right here.
It's interesting that you kind of describe it as like not a real world or like a magic world. And we could talk about this in storyline next.
Yeah.
It's actually a great segue to that.
Ooh. 'Cause
I didn't see it as magical at all. I saw it as the real world with these quirky circumstances.
Oh, so you thought like everything else was going on as normal and then it was just these weirdos walking around talking oddly and like behaving
yes.
oddly? Oh, okay.
That was my view of the film.
Okay. Well, I just assumed because every person in the movie talks like that, like they all talk similarly and they all talk about like the moon and love and destiny, you know? It's not like they go to a restaurant and the clerk's like, "What do you want?" And then they're all like, "I want the stars in your eyes and I want you to get in my bed." I just assumed the screenwriter was making a deliberate choice to kind of like put his movie in a universe where this is how people talk and destiny exists. It's not actually magical. I just think it has like a magical vibe about it.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
I thought the writing was beautiful, but,
yeah.
you know, it could be just a writer who likes to, you know, flourish their words. Like
right.
Moira Rose's language in Schitt's Creek.
But even the things like him having a wooden hand and her uncle Cosmo, who believes that, like, it's her dad's moon, and the fact that all this stuff happens during the full moon, and, like, the title is called Moonstruck, you know, the idea that, like, she's been captivated by the moon, like, spellbound by the moon. It all could happen in real life, obviously. Mm-hmm. It just feels different than, like, Bridesmaids. Like, I can't imagine anyone, like, vomiting in this movie. You know, it feels like they live in a New York where stuff like that, like, doesn't happen.
It just, in my opinion, it didn't feel different enough to warrant like, a, this is an alternate reality, or, like, this is a different way of life. Yeah, and
I didn't think
life.
They were, no, and I didn't think they were, I'm probably not describing it very well. I didn't think that they were trying to say, like, all the way to that, you know, where, mm-hmm. like, this is an alternate universe or something. It just more felt like, I guess stylized is probably the right word. Like an impressionist version of, of real life.
That I can agree with more.
Okay.
But, so what did you, who did you vote for storyline?
Yeah, so I voted for Moonstruck for originality and storyline, mostly because, well, partially because of the originality. Like, if you try to describe the plot to someone, the core of it is realistic. But, like, the fact that we get to see so much focus on Cher's mom's storyline and her dad's, honestly, the fact that her dad is not, like, a villain in this movie, it's, like, you get to know why Cher's mom loves him. Yeah, you just get to see a focus on a lot of other people besides just the main two characters. And then I just think the storyline is flawless. Like, I think every beat is where it's supposed to be. My Big Fat Greek Wedding is so funny, but I think the first third of it just, like, super drags. And there were parts where she made it very obvious what was going on in, like, the movie. Like, she was acting, looking sad, and then the voiceover went, "Sometimes I'm sad." I was like, oh my god, yeah, we know. So, I thought the movie really got going, like, once he proposed to her, everything from there on out, all the wedding stuff, like, the beats are perfect, but the first half of the movie, or first third, I was just like, this is kind of sloppy and cheesy. So I voted for Moonstruck.
I see what you're saying, and I disagree entirely.
Okay.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying
sure.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, Gregory, I'm just saying your opinions are trash, and our friendship will be ending.
I voted for My Big Fat Greek Wedding for storyline and originality. For one, because I disagree completely. I think the movie start to finish is all necessary. And I like how it goes, starts from, you know, shows her before they met, shows her how she's trying to improve her life. Then they meet, then they start dating, and they just go through the whole trajectory of their relationship through the wedding. So that I really liked, because you, and they're so sweet the whole time together. And I thought it really showed their relationship as, like, wholesome and sweet, and just like that's what you want. You just want something sweet like that.
Sure.
And also with Moonstruck, I just was confused a majority of the movie. I didn't really understand how things went together. The uncle and the parents, I kept mixing up because, quite frankly, they looked pretty similar.
No, they don't. They have completely different faces. What are you talking about?
Maybe, or I don't know if I kept mixing them up, or, like, I don't think I, like, fully realized who the aunt and uncle were at first. I was like, who are these people?
Okay.
Why are we focusing on them?
Sure.
And then, you know, some plot points I just didn't understand. Like, the mother making, in Sicily, making a miraculous cure from her deathbed, the man who keeps bringing dates to that same restaurant when they keep storming off, so then the mother who's eating alone has dinner with him. I didn't understand where that fit in with the whole storyline. Nicolas Cage falling in love with Cher in a day. I just didn't know what was happening and why it was happening.
Sure.
The entire movie.
Cool.
Yes.
Cool. Movie was not made for Kristen. Listen, it's fine. She's not going to try to destroy it.
No.
At the seams.
No.
But, like, would she opt into watching it again? I'm going to guess no. No.
You could probably guess what my vote is for rewatchability.
Probably. I'm going to guess it's Moonstruck. yeah, well, this is like, yeah, I don't know. We don't have to get into it. It wasn't your vibe? That's fine. Audience members, let us know what it was. All of those made sense to me. But if they didn't to you, then listen. The movie didn't make it there, and it didn't get your vote.
It did not.
No. I thought the reverse of my Big Fat Greek Wedding, sometimes, like I said, with the voiceovers especially, I thought all of them should have been cut. They were really cringy and brought me out of the movie. Sometimes things were, like, overly simplified, mm-hmm. I think, where it was like, like, parents do bad. They know, let me do what I want. They bad. We bad. But that being said, we're not going to get into all the individual plot points of Moonstruck. The themes are fear of death, most and not knowing how to love. Most things relate to that.
I feel like you want to get into all the plot points. We'll just make this a 3-hour podcast.
I'm not going to do it. I'm going to resist my worst impulses and say, good vote. And good vote me. Everybody had a good vote. And we strongly disagree with each other.
How much is this, like, pain, like, bringing you pain internally?
It's not. I mean, I wish you loved it, because then we could, like, watch it together and talk about it. Mm-hmm. But it's not. I think these movies are really interesting, actually. And I'll be interested to hear, like, when people listen to it, what they think. Because these movies are so similar in some ways.
They really
ways.
Are. Yeah.
Yeah. And then so completely different in other ways. So I think the fact that, like, one of them is your favorite and one of them is my favorite is actually, like, pretty indicative of our friendship, and I think it's kind of cute.
Yeah. And I do admit that I did, well, I found similarities in both movies, and I related to both movies in different ways, because half of my family is New York Italians, and a lot of what happened in Moonstruck, I was like, yeah.
Obviously.
I've gone to that exact restaurant. Right. I've had, maybe not these exact conversations, but, like, it's very similar in the sense that, like, they interact, they talk, they're just like, why are you doing this? Why aren't you doing it my way? Why are you moving out of the house? Don't you want to live here? Like, things like that are just like, I don't get it. Explain this to me. Like, that way that they, like, talk and are just like, you're crazy. Blood. Yes. Yeah. And on the flip side, while my family, the other side of my family is not Greek, so I can't speak to that, the other side is Norwegian, and I was brought up with a similar sense of, you either are Norwegian or you want and wish you were Norwegian.
Nice. Everyone wishes they were Norwegian. I love that. That's adorable. I want to see your Norwegian family at work someday.
Oh, they will also be very blunt. But then they'll be like, yeah, we're the greatest. But it's not like they're big-headed. It's just a fact to them. They're like, yeah, sure. We know.
Yeah.
We're the best.
Just like the Greeks in this movie.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of the people in this movie, our next category up is character development. Would you like to share your vote first?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Okay, all right. This is my punishment for the time that I voted for Clueless for almost everything.
I did try to vote for Moonstruck.
Okay.
In up till now. I'm not going to give away the rest of my votes, but...
Spoilers. Okay, well, I voted for Moonstruck, so... Okay. Why don't you talk about why you voted for My Big Fat Greek Wedding?
Not so much the main characters. I mean, Tula did have personal growth, but it was more like finding confidence in herself and, kind of less reliance on her family and finding her own happiness and, you know, looking outside of the family for, you know, or outside of the Greek diaspora for love, which, I mean, sounds like it was... unheard of in her clan.
Yeah.
But more so I thought the family's development and character. Also, I just loved all the family members in its entirety. I have an aunt who was just like Aunt Vula, and the parents were hilarious, and like the siblings who were all bickering with each other. And we also can't forget that this movie did star Joey Fatone from NSYNC.
So true. Yes. Iconic.
Yes. And I just loved all the characters. I thought they were hilarious. I thought they were so sweet and wholesome, but sassy. And I just really enjoyed them, especially the parents. And I thought at the end, you know, especially in the wedding scene when the dad is making that speech saying, you know, their last name, Portocallis, means orange, like the fruit. And then Ann Miller's last name, Miller, originates from a word that is apple. And he says, apple and oranges, in the end, we're all fruit. And that, I thought, was a huge growth from the dad at the end of the movie.
Sure. Okay. Well, it's interesting because I voted for Moonstruck for, like, similar reasons, but felt like the opposite movie did it better. So that's interesting. I think, well, first of all, Cher, like I said earlier, I think she acts beautifully in this movie. She won the Academy Award, actually, I think.
Yeah, I do remember that, actually.
Yeah. And just, like, watching her, she doesn't even have that many lines, and watching her grow from this, like, woman who, like, a widow who seems almost just, like, frozen, you know? Like, she's just, like, apathetic. It seems like she's, like, given up on finding joy in life. Mm-hmm. She's just gonna, like, keep moving through because she's a strong Italian woman, and that's just, they just survive. Like, she's just on survival mode. Watching her go from that to, like, having the classic makeover scene, both these movies gotta have them.
Oh, yeah.
To then, like, choosing the dangerous route, which is, like, being in love as opposed to being safe. I just thought that was, like, so beautiful. And I love it every time I see it. And then, secondly, I think the character, like, the side characters in both of these movies are absolutely hilarious and spectacular. I personally think that the characters in My Big Fat Greek Wedding are, like, a little more one-dimensional. Like, they're mostly there for jokes, and they are great jokes. but the characters in Moonstruck, in my opinion, are, like, entire, complete humans. We get to see a lot of them, like, both be vulnerable and struggle with things, and also sometimes be confident and, like, be in love and be mad at each other. And I feel like if I met them on the street, I would, like, know who they all are. Whereas if I met the people in My Big Fat Greek Wedding on the street, I would be like, did someone draw you? Are you a cartoon character? I also have to say, this is just personal preference. So this is really nothing objective, just personal preference. I like watching Moonstruck better than My Big Fat Greek Wedding because Moonstruck, everyone seems to, like, legitimately love each other, and they are just, like, being blunt and honest with each other because that's just how they talk. My Big Fat Greek Wedding, she, like, really doesn't seem to like her family for most of the movie, and they are all mad at each other all the time. So, yeah, that was why I voted for Moonstruck.
She grows to appreciate them more. She just needs a little space from them.
I mean, I guess so. But, like, you don't really see her appreciating her family until the final scene of the movie, and it's because, like, her dad says something nice, and then they buy her a house, and then I guess she, like, dances in a circle with them. So you got, like, one scene of appreciation.
Well, she puts up with a lot with her family. The terrible bridesmaids' dresses that her cousin...
Yeah.
That's every time I see it.
The ugliest thing in the world.
Every time it's revealed, I'm shocked every time still.
Horrific.
And the sweet moment with the grandmother the night before the wedding, and the brother
that came out of nowhere
when he
grandma's just running around trying to escape the whole time. And then she came in and suddenly she's mute. She can't talk anymore. She just has to, like, point at stuff. And then she's just like, "Here's a sweet moment for you." Like, grandma doesn't even know where she is.
Like, I don't think grandma speaks English. I think that's the.
But Tula speaks Greek.
Yeah. She wanted to have a silent moment with Tula.
Like we all do.
Yes.
Sometimes my grandma tries to talk to me and I'm like, shh, 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 shh. Silent moment. All right. We are not on the same page as this episode. Except about physical chemistry. We can keep that in our hearts and remember one time we agreed. Okay. What's next up?
Next up is timelessness / social awareness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I voted for Moonstruck for this puppy. This one, I thought, like, they're both pretty neutral. Mm-hmm. Like, both of them are about, you know, all white castes. Even, like, immigrants. They're not immigrants who face any sort of, like, racial bias or anything, you know.
No.
Neither of them have much to talk about with, like, marginalized groups. They're mostly just love stories. The reason why I ended up voting for Moonstruck was because I had this the last time I watched My Big Fat Greek Wedding, too, and I rolled my eyes a little bit more this time. I think just as time progresses, sometimes the way that we view men shifts a little bit, as is natural to do. And Ian Miller, when I first saw the movie, seemed like just the perfect dream guy. And now watching it in 2021, I'm just like, this is a really annoying white dude. he made absolutely no effort to, like, he mispronounced her name. Like, she would say something to him, and then he would just say it back and be like, "Goobly gobbly." Just, like, so offensive.
I disagree!
But that's true.
We are in a fight! When did he mispronounce her name?
That's what, he does it, like, four times throughout the movie. She tries to say her last name to him, and he goes, "Very baby beep." She's like, "Sure, yeah."
Listen, I don't know if we can talk. Because we just found out that we've been mispronouncing one of our good friend's names for the past 11 years.
That's correct. We did find that out. Tara, we love you. It's not Tara, it's Tara. Yeah, the difference is, as far as we know, she didn't say Tara, and I immediately said back, "Oh, Tara?" Which is what he did multiple times in this movie. I also, as someone in a relationship, got really pissed that his parents were being, like, so incredibly rude and xenophobic and white people-y.
They're being
when they
judgy.
Went to the party, and yeah. He didn't say one thing. He was just like, "Cool, peace," and, like, let all of her family members and her be really uncomfortable. So I thought that was, like, when the movie first came out, it was more like, "Oh my gosh, sweet little adorable white guy. He doesn't know anything to do with other cultures." And in 2021, I was very much like, okay, he could try, like, a little bit. Like, he could give, like, 5% more effort.
Okay, I don't entirely disagree that he can give 5% more effort, but otherwise, I disagree entirely with your character assassination of Ian Miller. He was, you know, doing his best to get involved in the family traditions, and he was learning. This is all new to him. He came from a boring white family.
Yeah, he could have gone out and gotten, like, a Greek dictionary and taught himself some words, but he didn't.
Maybe he did. They just didn't show
he
that
didn't.
In the movie.
Oh my gosh, if it's not shown in the movie, it didn't happen, Kristen. Don't be J.K. Rowling. If it's not in the text, it didn't occur.
I disagree. I think Ian Miller could have tried a bit harder, yes, but I'm not gonna fault him, because I think he did try. I also voted for Moonstruck.
Oh, but now you're very much regretting it.
It's just that I don't want to give you the satisfaction after.
You do hate giving me satisfaction.
After you destroyed Ian Miller like that.
I didn't! All I said was that he's not that great. Whatever. Continue on.
I do agree, and this was a hard choice for me, because, you know, I didn't want to vote for Moonstruck for anything.
Right.
Classic. But in the end, you were correct that sometimes the fact that they were Greek was a bit more of the punchline versus them being Italian made no difference to the story. I mean, not that it made no difference, but it wasn't a factor. It wasn't
right,
like a character trait. They were just Italian. Like, they didn't have to justify anything for being Italian. They just were.
Yeah, I agree with that. And obviously, sometimes the fact that they were Greek being the punchline was very funny. And I'm sure to, like, kids who are, you know, first generation immigrants, it was very funny to, like, see that, you know, made fun of. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it felt a little, like, too much, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. Lastly, are we going to make it through this podcast with our friendship intact? No. Kristen's looking at me like she wants to burn me. No! All right. At least you're honest. Let's get through this last category.
Rewatchability.
I voted for my Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Oh.
Now can we be friends?
Yeah, we can be friends now.
Okay.
What are your reasons?
I think this movie, as we've discussed, is a lot simpler, a lot easier. And oftentimes when I talk about, like, rewatchability, it's like when you and I talk about it, because we're crazy people, it's like, could we rewatch it twice in 1 week? You know, yeah. Like, that's how I think about rewatchability. And mm-hmm. Definitely the answer to that is no for Moonstruck. I watch it, like, twice a year, and I love it, and I'm so golden on it. But if it was, like, what you and I used to do in college, where we, like, watched a movie and then fell asleep in the dorm room and then woke up in the morning and watched the movie again. I couldn't do that with the Moonstruck.
Again, caveat, we did have friends in college. I want to make that clear.
Okay, sometimes those friends were with us when we watched a movie, fell asleep, and then woke up and watched the movie again.
Sometimes they were with us for one of the viewings and then they left to go live their lives. And then we were still the gremlins sitting in the dorm room.
And that's why we had to watch it again, because a new friend would come in and we'd be like, okay, now we have to watch it again. We were so cool.
We were very cool. We were very popular.
Very cool.
PSA announcement.
I feel like my Big Fat Greek Wedding, I guess the best way to put it is it feels like kind of like a snack movie to me. You know? It's like very fun, very cute, and very like easy to digest. Mm-hmm. So that's why I voted for it. How about you?
You'll be shocked to hear.
Because you hated Moonstruck to the depth of your core.
I didn't hate Moonstruck.
Mm.
But I didn't like it. I didn't get it. I didn't understand it. And like I said, I spent the whole movie just confused why you liked it. Which you have explained yourself. You have provided evidence, like the defense lawyer that you are.
Yeah, and thank you. I did.
She's not a defense lawyer.
Please call 1234 for all of your legal needs. It's
too short of a number.
Damn it.
Do I think I'll ever watch Moonstruck again? No.
Right.
Simple as that. I'll never watch it again. It was okay.
We're going to continue the thought. And then you were like,
But I kind of justified it throughout. I thought.
Yeah, I agree.
It was an interesting view. And I left it confused. And I don't want to leave a movie confused.
Yeah, I can see that.
Not that I didn't. I mean, you have explained it better, so I get a sense of more of what they were trying to go for now that you have talked about it more.
Sure.
But I still didn't get the hype. I didn't get why people liked it and why it was the way it was.
Why are you the way you are?
Also, parks
the TV.
Part of the problem was I was watching it. So on Roku, for anyone who doesn't know, life hack. There's a search feature and you could like search the name of a film and it'll show you like what apps it's on. So that's how I find all my movies. Cause
classic.
I don't like to pay for anything. I don't like to pay extra for things.
Yeah.
I should say. So
she steals everything. She's a serial robber.
So I found this, it was like a free movie on the Roku channel. So I didn't even know that existed. And halfway through the movie, something happened with my TV, I don't know what exactly, or with my Roku, and it just majorly zoomed in on their faces.
Ew.
And because the movie is kind of pretty stylistic, I thought this was just like a stylistic choice from the director.
No.
So for like a good 20 minutes, it was right at the opera scene it switched up until like the mom and the guy for the restaurant, like he was trying to go home with her.
Yeah.
That's like a good chunk of the movie. And it was just, like, super zoomed in on the face. So, like, I didn't even know that the dad was cheating on the mom because I could only see the top of Cher's head.
Oh my God, that's horrible.
And I couldn't see who she was talking to. So that's also part of my confusion. I was just like this pretentious-ass director.
Why does Ruth like this garbage?
I had to have to, like, just see the corner of Cher's eye and figure out
that's horrible.
Who she's talking to. And it seemed to fit with...
No, it did not.
But I was like getting so annoyed. I was like, what kind of stylistic choice is this? And then after 20 minutes, I was like, it was in multiple scenes. And I was like, okay, this doesn't seem right.
It feels like it's broken.
So I like restarted the film and then it went back to normal. And I was like, damn it, Roku channel.
Roku channel is trash. I've tried to watch movies on it before.
Yeah.
And it's something always goes wrong. I told you I was watching, what's the movie that I'm totally blanking on?
This is riveting.
I have to look it up. Hold on. It Happened One Night. I told you I was watching that old movie, It Happened One Night. Yeah, I tried to watch that on the Roku channel. And it pulled up, and it was so grainy, and there was almost no like, it's in black and white, but there was almost no saturation. You know, it just looked, like, gray. And I was like, damn, I don't remember this movie looking that bad. Like, I guess it is old. And so then I went and watched a trailer on YouTube, and it looked, like, 4 million times better. And I was like, what the hell? So I had to go to Amazon Prime and pay for it. And it came up and looked like an actual movie. So Roku Channel, pull yourself together.
Yeah, Roku Channel sucks. We are not a fan of Roku Channel.
We're not. Expose. Pew, pew, pew.
So I like Moonstruck better than the Roku Channel.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good.
And, of course, I love My Big Fat Greek Wedding. It's comfy. Right. It's cozy. It's fun. It's enjoyable. And I won't watch it on the Roku Channel.
That's the highest compliment you can pay a movie. She would watch The Mummy on the Roku Channel because then maybe it would cut out. Like, it would zoom in on the bug scenes and you wouldn't see any of the bugs.
Only if it also got rid of the noise.
True.
So, important question.
Yeah.
Does Mummy 2 and 3, do they also have a lot of bugs?
I actually don't remember. It has the same... Mummy 2 has, like, the same mummy dude in it. So I have to assume there are some bugs. I don't think there is many, now that I think about it off the top of my head, because Mummy 2 spends less time, like, in the crypts, you know? Also, there's a little boy in it, and I don't remember the little boy being covered in, like, bugs.
I do like that for him.
Yeah. So we can watch Mummy 2 sometime.
Is Mummy 2 and 3, are they good? Is it like Mission Impossible, where they just get better the more... No. The newer they become?
No. It's not like that, but it's not like other movies where the sequel is like 50% as good as the original. Okay. I would still say number one is the best, but number two is actually like surprisingly good, especially since there's a kid in it.
Yeah, are you anti-kids?
I mean, that was like a well-known thing, that normally movies with kids in them are poopy garbage. Because kids are bad actors, because they're kids.
It's part of the reason why you were so against the early Harry Potter movies?
Well, yeah, they're not very good actors. They're children.
No, they're not.
Stranger Things has the only good child actors, and it has all of them on the show.
Now I'm thinking shows or movies with good kid actors.
Yeah, that's a tough list to make.
I feel like it exists. Oh, have you seen Jojo Rabbit? That kid was Oscar nominated.
Yeah,
he's very
great.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it is rare. Like, you have to think about it.
I'm going to come up with a top 10 list for you.
Well, like, Zendaya got famous when she was a kid. She's obviously incredibly talented. But in general, sorry, I thought this was like an in-joke. Maybe it's just an in-joke in my mind. In general, child actors are not good because they're children. It's not their fault. They're just not adults.
Children are not adults.
The rom-com games. You can quote that. You can tattoo it on your ass. All right. Did you say everything you needed to say about rewatchability, or do you have more thoughts?
No, that's all. That's all I wanted to say.
Beautiful. All right. You know, like, who could have won?
It was actually close, and I was worried when we got to the rewatchability category. I was worried it was going to be a tie, and then I was worried Moonstruck might win. But Moonstruck did not win. It was my favorite wedding.
Yay! I'm honestly kind of happy just because you disliked Moonstruck so much. I wouldn't want you to have to watch it again. So I'll just go off of it. I'll watch it on my own privately. And any listeners who enjoy it, you just like shoot me that hot, hot text message on my cell phone. It's 1234. And we can watch it together. Well, congratulations, My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Not only congratulations to My Big Fat Greek Wedding, this is the final episode of the Sweet 16.
True! Congratulations to us and to all of you!
So the next four rounds of the Elite Eight will be Clueless versus Crazy Rich Asians.
Woohoo!
When Harry Met Sally versus Girls Trip.
Ooh.
Ooh, this one's gonna be hard. You've Got Mail versus While You Were Sleeping.
Ooh. Tough.
And the Brandy version of Cinderella up against My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
That's a weird one.
Most of these will try to find common ground, but Family Matters, again, Cinderella, My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Yeah, in Cinderella, it's that you should have a good family. And in My Big Fat Greek Wedding, it's that family exists.
Well, before we end today, we do have our bonus categories. Would you like to go first? Because I believe you that you said that you created a bonus category.
I do. It's written down right here. You guys can't see it, but Kristen can. Look, it's in pencil right here.
I can barely see that.
Well, yeah, that's because of my terrible handwriting. Listen, listeners, listen to all this paper layer I'm rustling around. Upon it is written this bonus question. Makeover scenes. a truly iconic part of the rom-com experience. Is a movie even a rom-com if it doesn't have a makeover scene? Yes, but we're disappointed. These movies both featured curly-haired women receiving makeovers. Which makeover scene did you like better?
I think My Big Record Wedding.
Elaborate.
No.
I'm just kidding. Strong move, strong move. Yes.
I felt like it was like a fun montage in My Big Fat Greek Wedding, and like there's some fun elements to it, like when she was struggling with the contacts, when she was trying on different clothes, when she was pulling her hair in curlers, versus with Moonstruck. I do like her darker hair a lot more, but it was really just hair dye. That's really all the makeover included. Which, I mean, she looked great.
Mm-hmm.
And I was surprised at the transform, because when it was coming up and it was a makeover scene and she was like, dye my hair. And I was like, all right, this is going to be a pretty anticlimactic makeover. And actually, I was pretty impressed by it. But
it was. No. You didn't realize how tired she looked until. Yeah. And I think they changed her makeup too. Mm-hmm. But you didn't realize how tired she looked until she got the makeover done. And then you were like, oh, that's freaking Cher.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I voted for the opposite because we're going to fight until the end of time. I voted for Moonstruck. honestly, I agree with you. I think the Big Fat Greek Wedding makeover scene was more fun. Like, it had more bits in it and it was funnier. The Moonstruck one, like, tugs at my heartstrings more because, like, something about the spontaneity of it. Like, she just walks by. She has a date tonight that knows she's not supposed to be going to and she's not supposed to be looking forward to. But, like, she just wants to look beautiful. Suddenly, like, I don't know, something about that makes me emotional. So, your turn.
Okay, my question is that both of these films include kind of loud, intrusive, boisterous families of Mediterranean heritage. Which, if you can choose to spend a week with either of these families, which would you choose?
Oh, definitely the Moonstruck family. Because, like I said, they all seem to actually like and love each other. It's the Big Fat Greek Wedding family is constantly just shouting at each other. I also am a vegetarian. So Italian cuisine, I would much rather have the mom cook that delicious little egg in a bread thing.
That did look good.
For me every day. Or like pasta. I don't want to eat any lamb, so.
I go back and forth about my own question that I posed.
And it's actually such a brilliant question. It just really rattles the mind.
Yeah, whoever asked this question is a true scholar. We could all agree.
Of cinema.
She is beautiful and brilliant. I'm just putting that out there.
She's beauty and she's grace. Name that movie, Kristen.
Miss Congeniality.
Oh my gosh, a classic that I hate.
You didn't always hate it.
True.
We
are divided on this podcast about Miss Congeniality. Just another movie that we're in a fight about.
And we're also divided as to what cuisine would I want to live with for a week. Because I have Italian family, so like I have great Italian food at my disposal already. The Greek food's so good.
You do love Greek food.
Feta cheese. Mainly that feta cheese I really
but love. Will you is the feta cheese worth your parents yelling at you to marry a Greek man every day of your life?
All right, I'll vote Moonstruck.
All right. Yes, I won her over. That was a good question. I liked that.
Yeah
honestly, I like am any brilliant family. Thank you. People just God, any family where people just want to make me food all the time is fine. So I'd probably accept either. Oh, all right. Well, it was a contentious episode, but I think our friendship came back together in the end.
I'm still not sure.
About Ian Miller? Is it about that?
No, he's perfect.
No, I'm 95%
saying perfect.
Like, why are you not sure about our friendship? Is it because of what I said about him?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Especially because not only do we love Ann Miller. I love Ann Miller. I don't know what your problem is now.
He's fine. 5 out of 10.
But We also love Aiden Shaw in Sex and the City.
Yeah. He's cool. Give him, give him like a 7 out of 10. No, it's the same actor. It's not the same person.
7 out of 10 is not a great score.
It's like, I'd give him like a 7.5, I guess. He doesn't like read body language very well. Like, he's just like, we're getting married. And Carrie looks like insanely uncomfortable. And he's just like, cool. Everything's going well.
Yeah, but Carrie also sucked, first of all. And she overreacted a lot. So I would also be unsure what was an appropriate reaction or what was her having hives in a wedding dress store.
I mean, for sure. This is not me saying that he's only a 7.5, so she's a 10. She's a 3, obviously. Yes.
We love Sex and City. We don't love Carrie Bradshaw.
Yeah, I don't despise her the way that other people do. I think she's just, like, self-absorbed and kind of silly, but I don't think she's, like, the devil incarnate.
No, it was more recent viewing, because I probably watched it through, like, 6 or 7 times at this point in my life, and it was a more recent viewing where I had the realization that she's a real shitty friend.
Yeah.
But at the same time, what drove me nuts is all the girls consider her their best friend, but she's a terrible friend to them all.
Yeah. That's a good, very good point. That's something the show never really addressed.
Mm-hmm.
It was clear that they disliked her just because, like, she... I don't know why.
I don't know why.
She had, like, a thing about her, I guess. She's one of those people who has, like, a vibe about, like, an aesthetic about her that people are
a
like...
Pizzazz.
Oh. A pizzazz! That's right. A pizzazz. All right, well, my Big Fat Greek Wedding is the final contender of our Sweet 16. Please check back in 2 weeks, where we will be starting the first two candidates to be going head-to-head against each other from the Sweet 16. We also will have a special guest
next week. That's a surprise for you all that's coming up that is now revealed, so it's no longer a surprise.
I didn't think it needed to be a surprise. Did it?
I don't know. Now it never will be.
So, remember to subscribe, follow us on whatever platform you get your podcasts from. We are here every other Monday and excited to keep discovering the greatest rom-com of the series with you all.
The competition is getting intense, so keep checking us out.